Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hi, welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and on today's show, you are going to get to meet my friend and business extraordinaire, Laura Delaney. Mrs. Delaney started an independent choir about 3 years ago. Rise, my independent choir here in Savannah, Georgia, started about 5 years ago. In the episode today, Laura and I talk about our friendship and how we met and connected over this whole independent choir thing, but then we really dive in and offer some teaching tips because Laura is a genius when it comes to what are the business things we need to know as choir directors. We offer teaching tips to you whether you're in an umbrella of a school or a church or you're thinking you might want an independent choir of your own, and what does that even mean or look like? In this conversation, we share purpose and why and ideas, and as we wrap up this year and you're thinking about what you want to do for next year, I feel like this episode couldn't come at a more perfect time. As always, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thanks to the Kennison Choral Company for being our fantastic sponsor. Use that code MUSICMATTERS at checkout to save some money, but let's get into this conversation. Help me welcome to the show, Mrs. Laura Delaney. Today on the show, we are welcoming conductor, mom, musician extraordinaire, Mrs. Laura Delaney. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Emmy.
How's life in North Carolina?
Well, I brushed my hair today because I was going to see you. So that's very exciting. I always love to tell my students when I actually take time to brush my hair.
I put lipstick on. I think I might have already made it gone, but I originally had lipstick on today.
That's a win.
It is a total win. Yay. Okay. Tell everyone, who is Laura Delaney?
Okay. So who am I? The truth is I'm really still figuring that out. And I've told you that before. I am currently the director of Cary Apex Youth Choir, which is a choir that I started. We're in our third season. So I started it really in my head about 3.5 years ago. And that's sort of my work life right now. Previously, I've taught in public school, I've taught senior choirs, church choirs, and kind of dabbled in as a clinician and things like that. But the youth choir is my focus right now. I am also a mom to two amazing kids. They are 9 and 11, and they are riding the virtual school / hybrid in-person school life right now, which is really wild. And I am also a wife and I would say the chief manager of our family. So I wear a lot of hats.
You do. You really are a superstar. I remember when we first met, I'm thinking this was January. This seems like a million years ago.
It was.
January, we were in Atlanta. It was the children's director's retreat. And yes. Did you come talk to, I just know that we met and clicked really quickly, but I don't remember who said what first.
I'm pretty sure I like put on my big girl pants and walked up and was like, hi, I just want to meet you. I'm super introverted, so it was like a big deal to like just walk up and introduce myself to somebody.
I just remember we like immediately connected because our choirs are about the same age. Yours is 3 years old, mine is 5 years old. They're both independent choirs that aren't under a school or a church or a college, yeah. And we'll unpack that more in a second. But I was so excited. I think we went to lunch together that day and just gabbed nonstop. And then I think we did dinner and you got to meet Cuffy, my admin, director of operations.
Yes, and that was amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And then was it that first conversation? Here you are, super introverted. And I'm like, I don't have any of those bones. And I was coming to your county to do an all-call.
Yeah, so I think you had asked where I was and you were like, oh, is that like near Raleigh or something? I was like, well, indeed it is. And you are coming for the elementary honor choir for our county schools. Yeah. And you asked me for a ride from the airport. And I was like, I was glad to do that.
I remember in my head thinking, this is the craziest thing you've ever done. You don't even know her last name. Like I had you in my phone for the longest time as Laura from North Carolina ride from airport. And then I learned your last name. But I remember we had so much to talk about with the business and everything we're actually going to talk about in today's episode. And I was so excited that you were A, willing to find time among your crazy awesome schedule to pick me up from the airport. B, pick up a somewhat random stranger from the airport and take her to a location that I didn't even know what it was. You kept me company for hours while we waited for the event to start. And I'm pretty sure I was frozen because it was cold there.
It was cold, but that was a great day. And I'm so thrilled that we like established our friendship that day.
I mean, it was just bam, go. And it's been really fun ever since connecting during COVID and just figuring out, because like I said, our choirs are really similar. Tell the listeners, what's your structure? How did you do this independent choir thing? Let's dive into the meat of what matters here.
Sure. So I'll tell you first that I was really scared to do it. I dug my feet in the sand for quite a while. My husband just kept saying, just do it. Just do it. It's your life dream. Just do it. And I didn't. And I didn't. And finally, I was like, okay, fine. I am going to bite the bullet and go after this. And I reached out to some friends that I have from an adult choir that I sing in. And I was just, you know, floating the ideas. And one of my friends was like, oh my gosh, children's choirs. I love children's choirs. Let me tell you about what I did when I lived in Charlotte. And then we went on this whole thing. And so I really just like started with the enthusiasm of a couple of friends who were willing to jump on board with me and give me their time and their support. And within, 6 months, I had read a few books about how to get started. and I just went all in. We started doing like Facebook social notices about, hey, there's going to be this group starting up. Are you interested? And like collecting names and stuff. Did a mini session in the spring before our first full season and just allowed people, it was like $35 and you came for 4 rehearsals. And then we did a little performance for the parents. And that was our start. And then we started our first season. It took a lot of planning and a lot of reaching out. But now here we are in our third season, riding out COVID.
I know. Okay.
It's going
great. Don't give any of that away yet. I want to talk about it. But there are 3 specific things you said that I'm really excited to talk about. First of all, we started the exact same way. We had like a little 8-week preview in the spring. And it was $35, and we put on a little concert, and I think that was such a great model for testing the water and working out the bugs.
For sure.
And you used Facebook. We used Facebook. Social media can be a great thing. Don't watch The Social Dilemma. I mean, yes, watch The Social Dilemma, great film on Netflix, but there's still good happening in social media like this, your choir.
Yeah.
But so I love the little, we called it the pilot season. It's still in all of our Google Drive folders as the pilot season.
That's
and
so
then
cute.
You jumped in, you were scared. You didn't know the answers.
Sure. I mean, I had worked under the umbrella of a school. I had worked under the umbrella of a church. And I had dabbled in, you know, just independent consultant style working. But taking the whole thing on as a business was a big deal.
That's huge.
I will say, being like chief manager of my family household has come into play over and over again. It's been so helpful in like figuring out how I was going to do everything and be able to understand how the finances work and all of that. So it was really helpful to have some sort of running your own business to kind of lean on as I got started.
So you leaned on friends, like you had your experiences, you leaned on friends and some books. Do you have any great books you'd recommend for someone who's thinking about this?
You know, so I did read that book. Oh, I forget who, it's right here, called Before the Singing.
Yes.
By Barbara Tagg. So
she's
I read that one.
That was my first episode ever on the podcast. Don't go back and listen to it, though. The audio is really bad. She's going to come back and do another one because the audio,
great.
I was just learning. See, jump
but
in.
But yeah,
things.
So I read that. I also, so the other thing is that I have served on boards before. And for several years, I was on the board of my adult choir that I sing with called Women's Voices Chorus in Chapel Hill. And so I had served, you know, as a music chair, and then I did a couple of years as president. And that really allowed me to see like the inner workings of the organization and understand how much work was going to go into making my program work.
So you had a lot of things to kind of like paint your ideal picture. It was a big dream, yeah. But you also had life experiences, your chief managing position as mom, you had school teaching positions, you had board positions. You kind of had a visual in your mind, and you were just filling in the gaps of how to do it through friends and books. Perfect. Yes. Okay, then what happened? When did you went in not-for-profit world? Like, how did you get that started?
I did. I read so much and I heard so many people that were like naysayers. Oh, this, it's so hard. There's so much paperwork. You don't want to do that yet. And I did the research and I was like, I can do this. You know, I was getting postcards from lawyers. We'll do this for you for $500, $600. And I looked at it all and I was like, no, I can handle this. And so I actually did that right after we incorporated. I established my board with my friends and then jumped right in and put in the application for not-for-profit status. And we had that by the end of our first month. So
that's fast. That's awesome.
Yeah. I really want to encourage people who are thinking about that. There are a lot of folks who like look at that legalese and think, oh my gosh, this is too much. If you have something to get you started, for instance, I had the all of the board documents from my previous experiences that I could draw on, and I could look at it and be like, okay, I can make my policies, and I can write all of this up, no problem, because they have something to lean on. If you got that, I say go for it right away. That way you don't have to deal with it later, you know, right. Just get started the way that you want to be. And I know you're not a not-for-profit.
We did it totally different, but I think it's because the past experiences. You had such great experiences serving on boards, and I had worked in a school system for two different schools. I had worked in private and public schools. I worked for a not-for-profit, worked in corporate America, traveling all over. And when it came down to actually wanting to build my own choir, I wanted something that, yes, I have an advisory board, but I wanted to have the roots established in the vision and mission that would never change. So we seek to revolutionize the way that people are taught to sing. Just do it completely differently. And there is a not-for-profit branch in the works as we build this LLC, and the not-for-profit branch has a lawyer and it has an accountant, and someone else is helping me with that because I can't read like you can and decipher in those ways. That's not one of my fortes. I can talk about it all day long, but to actually sit down and focus on the paperwork is not a forte, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I have people to help. But the LLC for us was half the cost, half the time, and we had it before our first pilot rehearsal. So we actually had all of the LLC paperwork and all of the insurance for having students under our care before that first rehearsal of the pilot season. And so because we didn't know what would actually happen or how much money we would be working with, there was no budget or anything, we started that way. So it's not a right way or a wrong way. It's just very different. And
right, yeah.
I definitely need the not-for-profit side, and it will be done here shortly. We're getting super close. But for us, it worked out well, like the super speed to get started in the LLC version. If you don't have a timeline, go get that not-for-profit status done right away, because people will still see you starting up. And we had tons of people that said, hey, let us help you financially. And we'd have to say, hey, full disclosure, we're not a not-for-profit.
Yeah,
That's why we have built in a slower fashion, kind of like a business, instilling into our assets and then spending our money that we've made so that we now have the not-for-profit side. But there's no wrong answer. They're both dreams that we both had to do research, we both had to ask friends, and now we have young people getting together every week making music, and it's so cool.
It is. It is great. I will say, you know, in regards to establishing, you know, I did make a personal investment in the organization up front. So there had to be something to start with. And so full disclosure, I put that money in to start, but then I believe it was a year in, I had already recouped that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my investment paid off. It's just, I needed somewhere to begin.
Right. Yeah. It's, and the LLC version is a little bit cheaper if you're not, like I actually, sure. That was something that was given in kind to our organization. Mm-hmm. So the money we had invested from the beginning was time money. And that's a huge blessing. But it just goes by asking. Like, I was sitting at lunch with my accountant, who's just a great friend, my personal accountant, and we were talking about life. And she's like, why don't you just start a choir? You'd be perfect at that. I'm like, me? Run my own business? I can hardly fill out my tax forms on time without you reminding me. My husband's great at it, so we're fine now. But she's like, oh, I got this. Just tell me what you want it to be called, and I'll take care of the rest. When do you want to get started? And that was kind of like your husband said, get started. My accountant was like, hey, go own your own business. I got this. And so now we've, you know, paid back all of our fees and everything. It's been great. Tell us about what you did when COVID hit. How did you adapt with that, with your board and everything? Because you guys are thriving.
Well, I took some time to breathe. we truly did. We shut down and I took some time to breathe for a couple of weeks. And I just thought through, okay, what is it these kids need now? And honestly, having two children in my house really helped me have some perspective on what the kids needed. And the truth was, some of them needed nothing else going on in their life. And so I gave them that permission. Just, you know what? There is no attendance policy anymore. If you want to meet us on Zoom, great. If you don't, and that's not working for your family, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You need to do you right now. And then I also saw that there were kids who really needed some sort of connection. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, we used the rest of our spring semester just to connect. We sang a little bit. We experimented with the technology so that we knew kind of how it worked. But I didn't dive heavy into singing anymore because I wanted them to remember why they were coming to choir. It wasn't just about getting better at singing. It was about our community and about supporting each other. And so that's kind of how we rode out the spring. We put out one virtual choir performance at the end of the spring, and it was sort of my gift to them as, you know, something to end the year off with. And then we put together a little movie about what choir means to them.
Aww.
And so then I had time over the summer to just think everything through and make plans A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H.
Oh, yes. I, J, K is still there down the pipeline if we haven't already hit M, N, N, O, P.
Yes. and man, I revamped those over and over again, and I kept tearing up pages and turning them around. And ultimately, we settled on meeting outdoors in small groups. It just so happened that we were thriving greatly at the beginning of 2020, and we planned to split our groups because we had so many kids. Mm-hmm. So when we lost a lot of kids, due to COVID and kids not wanting to, or families not wanting to enroll their kids in choir, we ended up with two small groups instead of two relatively decent sized groups. And that worked out great because that's what we needed, you know, small groups. And then we decided to meet outside. A church that we have a relationship with allowed us to use their like fenced in yard off of their building. With electrical and a little bit of backlighting, and so we went for it, and we had plans for we're going to be outside, and as soon as everybody is ready to get back indoors, we are there ready to go.
Yeah, like, 6 months later.
That was wishful thinking, but so we've done the whole fall semester outside. And
which was pretty epic, like popping into your rehearsal and seeing I was on Zoom and you guys were all bundled up with like gloves and hats and coats, and they were singing their little hearts out. It was so awesome to hear them, and they were spaced out so perfectly.
Yeah. So I've gotten really good at measuring 10 feet. And we use these cute little vinyl dots like you would use in an elementary school classroom. So I just lay them out on the ground and then I wash them when I get home. But if we've had some rain issues, we've had hurricanes. I don't know. Hurricanes always happen on Thursdays around here. I don't know why, but rehearsals on Thursday, so here comes the hurricane. So we have done some Zoom. But having established the rehearsals outside made Zoom a little bit easier, I think, because they had something to fall back on that they had already done together.
And they knew it wasn't forever, that the
No.
internet rehearsing, which isn't choir, by the, like it's
It's
just
not.
it's
It's
community
not.
building, it's practicing your solo singing, it's great for a plethora of things, but our hearts need choir.
Yeah, the thing I was saying to a parent the other day is you don't get the synergy. That special feeling, the thing that warms you up when you're singing in choir, you don't get that online. And honestly, it's harder getting it outside too.
Yeah, you're
As
spread
we
out and
enter,
masked and crazy.
yeah, it is. And as we were going into the winter, we are going to do a little bit of indoor, but we've managed to get a spot at the local Marriott. And they have these, I know, right? They have these meeting rooms, and the single meeting room is just enough space for our small groups as is. But then they were like, we're not having a lot of events these days. So whenever we can, we'll open up the grand ballroom for you.
Oh,
And your
that's so
small
cool.
group can have a space that's like a bajillion times bigger than what you need. So we can be outside for quite a while and then go in and warm our little toes and fingers for a little bit and then come
Yes.
back out.
What a
So
great setup.
that's our
So
plan to keep going.
I love that how you were through it, because being there to talk to you through some of this and just our little morning coffee dates as we were talking through it, and you were managing being a mom of hybrid students and virtual students, and then you didn't know what. But to see how you've worked through this, I really appreciate and love the way you process and handle information. So let's go back to the beginning of the story and offer some tangible tips here to our listeners. Let's first talk. What are the tools and techniques that they've gathered if they're in a school choir with that type of umbrella or a church choir with that type of umbrella? What are some of the techniques and tools they've been equipped with there? And what are some things that you can offer as advice if they want to do more?
Sure. So when you're teaching in school, you have a budget that's given to you, either by your booster club or by your school, or both if you're lucky. You have a time schedule that you've got to follow, right? And you have to negotiate with your colleagues on how to plan your program. So already you should be gaining skills in money management because you need to know, how much music can I buy? Who can I pay as my accompanist? What can I afford? So you should be able to manage your budget. You should also be able to manage time. And those things are really important when you're starting a business. You've got to be able to figure out how much time you need to get everything done, and you've got to be able to not overspend. It's a big deal, but then I think also, when you're teaching in a school system, spend that time building relationships with not only your colleagues. And so I have a friend who teaches in a local high school, and he does such a great job of reaching out to teachers who teach subjects that are not in the arts and collaborating with them. And I think that's phenomenal because when you go to do your own business, you don't just need people who teach singing. In fact, that's probably the least thing you need in your organization because you are that. You need the people that know how to do everything else, and you need to have relationships established so that they can help you.
I love that. So timing, time management, budgeting, how to make a budget, how to stay in a budget, connections, people,
Yes.
collaboration. So everybody that's coming to the business world or coming to the choir world from a school system, a church umbrella, whatever your umbrella over you. You have these things. So there's a couple different ways we can go with this conversation from here. What do you do next if you'd like to start an independent organization? Or what do you do next if you want to take your umbrellaed organization, your school choir, your church choir, whatever you're working for, to the next level? So what are some tips you can provide in that sense?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things I was thinking about with, there's so many people who listen who are teachers, right? And they are under this umbrella. The thing is, if you start to operate like a small business in your department, your program can really flourish.
Yes.
You know, you start to figure out all these things that you can do outside of the box because you have utilized your connections. You have figured out, if I save money here, I could do this amazing thing for my kids here. So I think if you do think about your school program as a small business, it could grow exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to think about the marketing, you know, and things like that. And I think that really goes both ways for schools and for independent organizations. Marketing is important. And that is not something that I was good at when I was a teacher, honestly. Mm-hmm. There are teachers who came after me who were amazing at that. And I applaud them for what they are able to do because it really helped draw in even more kids to the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn how to do that. And I'm still learning, honestly.
Oh, yes.
Again, I'm
every
an
day.
Introvert. So reaching out and getting people to like buy what I'm selling.
But
know,
that right there
sense.
Is huge. Like, we are selling a product. You are, even if you're talking about your school choir program, yes, you are selling that product. That student, that family is choosing to invest in your product, your school choir, in your church choir. They are investing time, effort, money, energy into giving you that amount of rehearsal time. And in today's world where the kids are involved in a million things, that means a lot. And you need to market the bejeebies out of that.
Yes. Yeah. And you've got to deliver on your product.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. You know, if you're thinking about going into this as a business, as an independent choir, you need to be thinking about how much time you have to do this, because not only do you need time to run the business, but you still have to have enough time to be a really good choir director.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time. Score study takes time. Professional development takes time.
Yes.
And they're really important.
And I think that's a big reason too, when you're considering, like, do you want to branch out and do something independent? That was a big, those first couple years, learning how to balance all of that was a big part of our world here at Rise.
Yeah.
And that's why we've developed a lot of the different services that we offer for people who want to do that. Like, there's a whole consulting thing with my amazing director of operations, because so many of us just want to do the artistic thing, but
mm-hmm.
you have to find a way to also make time for all of those non-artistic things without losing the quality of your artistic thing.
Exactly.
And
boy, it's a big balancing act.
Sure. I mean, life is balancing. I think this might be one of the big perks, though, of COVID. There's so many terrible things that's happened. But I think always choosing to find some type of bright spot personally is helping me get through. I feel that COVID has shown me that I am capable of creating a choir video, of using technologies in ways that market and engage and enhance the product. And it kind of sounds a little bit, I don't know, cold to call choir a product, but
mm-hmm.
it's a product.
Yes.
It's an experience, and there's a process to get to that product, but you need to put something out there so that the families that aren't in your rehearsals every week, the other people that aren't there seeing the amazing progress the kids are making, can see what the value and the why is living out into reality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So give us some more tips here. So we know time management, budgeting, we know the balancing aspect. What else would you tell someone who's thinking, I'd like to do more with my choir?
I think one of the things that has been really helpful to me is to do my research outside of just the choir world. I have started listening to business podcasts.
Yes, girl. Yes.
I have started reading business books.
Yep.
I think I'm really fortunate in that I am married to someone who already has his own business. He's a franchise owner. He's a financial advisor, which, I mean, like, sometimes I run downstairs. I'm like, hey, let me just run this by you with this tax, blah, 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 you know, and he'll give me a straight answer, which is really a good thing to have. But I think it's important to reach outside of what you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to grow, you know,
yes, you have to get uncomfortable for change to happen. This is never comfortable. Podcasting is never comfortable. It's a blast, but it's never comfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's more comfortable for you as an extrovert than it is for me. That's for
this
sure.
This is very true. And you're rocking and rolling. This is really fun. I hope you're having a good time.
Yeah, I am. But talking to you is always fun. You know, I was thinking about, like, some of the things that I've listened to, and maybe, you know, for folks that are looking to kind of get some inspiration to put themselves out there. About probably 2 years ago, I started listening to the Rise podcast, you know, coincidentally, also called
yes.
Rise. It's a great
yes.
name. So it's now called the Rachel Hollis podcast, you know, and she's just become like a huge name nationally in inspiring business leaders and entrepreneurs. But I listened to her earlier stuff when I started. I literally started it at the beginning and worked my way through. And so that was a great way to kind of light a fire for me to push myself outside of what I knew. And recently I started listening to some other ones like Building a Story Brand, which talks a lot about the marketing side and how you are reaching your people. And I think honestly, like, even teachers could use this to grow their program in a school. Just some basic tips for how you get your message out there to others.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. I'm also a huge nerdy business, personal development, podcast, book reader person. And the early Rachel Hollis stuff is really good. And there are some fabulous things in some of her books too. And I also think one of my favorites is Brendan Burchard. I know we've talked about him before.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I love his little short snippets of ideas. There's fantastic stuff. But I think there is so much to be said about the business side, the marketing, the branding, the filling the gap. Like, we think about our choirs, and our choirs are different because our cities are different, and the needs in our cities are different, and the needs in our students and our singers and our families are different. And you have to articulate that somewhere. You can't just make a choir because that's your big dream. You have to figure out, how is that choir going to fit into the fold of your community?
Yeah. And you know, that was a really good point when I was trying to decide about starting this choir. You know, people that I talked to said, well, do you need a choir in your community? Does your choir need it? And for me, the answer was yes. I live in the Triangle where there's a huge arts community. There's so many great performing arts opportunities. And a lot of stuff out there. But here's the thing. The kids that are in elementary and middle school in my little area, they don't have choir.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say 4 out of 5 schools, elementary schools in our area, do not have choir.
Wow.
None of the middle schools within my reach have choir. There was a other subject teacher who was trying to start like a middle school club for kids to sing in choir, just because he kind of felt like it was
choir.
Missing. But yeah, so, but then my friends who teach in the high schools, there's like 4 high schools right in my little radius, and they're amazing teachers, and they've got these great programs, and they're putting together, I mean, fantastic stuff, but they're getting freshmen who really have nothing to go on. So they're kind of starting from scratch every year with their freshmen. And I thought, my friends need that support underneath, they would benefit from it. I mean, they are amazing teachers as they are, but what if I could supply something where there were elementary kids and middle school kids who were already learning the basics of choir and were already learning to love what they were going to get in high school? They would be more likely to sign up for choir in high school, and it's going to set them up and my friends as teachers up to be even more successful in their programs.
Oh, I love that. So, and it's so cool because, like, that's not a thing in our community. There's a lot of different places you can sing in church and in school. What I found was that as a female, when I left the school system and worked for corporate America, I didn't know how to eat lunch during a meeting. I know that sounds crazy, but I remember one of my earliest meetings, I had my full plate of lunch in front of me because I had been talking the whole meeting and I hadn't eaten it. But I had meetings back to back after that. I'm like, when am I going to eat food? So I wanted to get a place where young women could come together and learn not just how to revolutionize their voices. Singing's what brought us together, and making a beautiful choir brought us together. But through the process of learning to read music and explore all different styles and genres of music and singing, we also have learned how to have meaningful conversation, how to eat and talk at the same time, how to go somewhere without your phone, how to spend the night on a college campus and learn about colleges and do the like. There's just so much more behind the music that made our organization get started, because our community has great choral things. We have something special that connected people from different schools and different churches and different communities and different lived experiences, which has now grown from just all girls. Do we have Rise Guys, Rise Gals, Rise Adults, Rise Kids? And then they all come together to be like the Rise family. And so it really is a family adventure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
you for have me, to throw out paint and see what sticks.
You do. And you also have to be personally connected to it. So like the idea that you had this experience of not knowing how to eat lunch in a meeting that set you up for the idea for what you wanted to provide for your kids. Mm-hmm. For me, I love my starter story. My mom took me to an audition for the Charlotte Children's Choir with Sandy Holland. And although I had played piano for many years before, I had never really sung. I mean, other than into my little tape recorder in my room, you know. And my audition, it was bad. It was bad. And here's the reason. I was nervous. And it turns out I'm one of those people that when I get nervous, I go kind of tone deaf. It was a big thing for me as a kid. And so my lack of confidence in there, you know, Sandy was looking at me like, she needs to start at the very beginning, you know, but she put me in the choir. And I sang with her for years. And in that time, I realized what a value I was getting from her. She was instilling confidence in me. She was giving me a place where when I didn't feel good singing by myself, I felt amazing singing with others. And I was learning all these skills that I wasn't really learning in my school choir class. And it inspired me to want to give that to other kids. So it turns out now I can sing by myself and I'm okay.
Good job. Sandy, totally get Sandy on the show. She would be so much fun too.
Yes. But, you know, it took her believing in me and giving me a place to grow in order for me to be here. And look where I am now, you know, and honestly, she was my first call, you know, when I was like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a choir. How do I do this? What do I need to know?
Her in New Jersey. We had a conference and I waited for her to walk out of a church. And I was like, so you just started a group and I'm about to do the same thing. Help. And she was so kind. She's wonderful.
She is. Yeah. But, you know, I really credit her for giving me my why for my choir. And I want kids to have a place where they feel confident and they belong and they feel loved and they feel like they're growing. That's my purpose for my choir. And I think that's really important. You know, when you're, yes, when you want to start something new, you do need to have a purpose, and it's okay for your purpose to change over time, mm-hmm, or to develop further.
Mm-hmm. I like that word, develop.
Having something really important to you to get it started, it can't just be, I want to have kids in front of me singing.
Yeah, that won't work. That
no,
won't cut
you've
it
got
on the
to
hard
have
days.
A reason, because, oh my gosh, it's so much work.
It is.
You have to have a reason to do the work.
You have to have that. That's a perfect final tip for that little section, is you have to have that reason to know, why are you diving in wholeheartedly to do all this work? And what do you do when the days are hard, when people don't show up, or when you have number problems because of a pandemic, or when you have to get creative on the daily? You have to have that purpose that keeps you going, that keeps you serving those singers and those families. Oh, this has been so much fun. I'm so thankful we finally got a chance to unpack how you got into this amazing place. Are there any final words or things that matter that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I've got two for you, because I knew you were going to ask this question, and you asked for one, but I'm going to give you two.
Perfect. I love it. Go for it.
So on the business side, here's my tip. Get your ducks in a row and go for it. Like, put one foot in front of the other and go after it. And as long as you have given yourself some sort of foundation to start with, you've done a little bit of research and you know what you're getting into, it's so worth it. Just go for it. The rest will figure itself out. But then my second tip is really for all teachers. And this is coming from me just as I've developed over time and changed my perspective really as a teacher, but also as a parent. Here's what I have to say. They're just kids. Yes, you're running a business, but they're just kids. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's not how perfectly you sang that 4-part or 8-part split a cappella piece on that fancy concert. It's not the standards that you're meeting to prove to your principal. It's the connections that you're making with those kids, and it's how you make them feel every day. They just come because they want to be loved, and singing is something that they love and something that you love. So you guys are connecting together. But they're just kids. And if we see them as people, I think that that is where we are successful in our choir teaching.
That was perfect. They are kids. We have the coolest job on the planet. It's not easy. But man, is it worth it.
It is. It's a lot of work, but it is fun work. It's meaningful.
I'm so excited to see where this goes for you. I mean, this is our 5th anniversary concert, whatever, happening this next couple weeks virtually. And
oh, wow.
I can't wait for us
what
to like,
way
I know, right? I can't wait for us to sit down and like celebrate your 10 years and 15, like just all those benchmarks that give you an opportunity to sit and reflect. I'm so thankful that you did it, that you went for it, that you got your ducks in a row and you remembered that there's a purpose. This was really great. Thanks
too.
For being here.
Hey, thanks so much, Emmy.
I love that saying, get your ducks in a row. Get your ducks in a row and do it. Go get it. Or don't. It's totally fine to listen to this whole episode and decide that you're cool just the way you are. As we heard in our episode with Dr. Hannawalt, I like you just the way you are. So either go for it and get your ducks in a row and have a great time remembering that the singers in front of you, they're kids, whether they're 4 or 72, they're kids at heart. Have fun. Enjoy the process. Choir is innately fun. So either go for it or don't, but whatever you're doing, know that you matter. If you have questions or need any tips or advice, check us out, patreon.com/musicedmatters. We are always connecting and offering tips and advice and wisdom and getting together, just because you're not in this by yourself. And if you're looking to get started with the choir, let me know. I'm so excited to hear what people are doing, whether it's expanding what you already have or taking your choir model to the next level or jumping out there and getting your ducks in a row and getting started in an independent choir. There's no wrong answer, because we all know that music matters. and I'll see you next time on the Music Matters Podcast.